Our next speaker is Sean Castile from Purdue University to talk to us about soybean yield decisions, interactions of variety, planting, and foliar protection. And Sean, if you would, tell us about your co-authors, please.
Thank you, Jim. My name is Sean Castile. I'm an extension soybean specialist at Purdue University. Co-authors are Vince Davis, who was at Illinois, who is now at Wisconsin. And then A.J. Woodard is with the BASF. And so it's just kind of the combination of looking at this study across multiple locations. So to give you a bit about the background, there's been a number of comments made in the past few years, comments such that new cultivars respond more favorably to intense management. And so for today, we're going to say intense management is planting date. We'll look at fungicide, whether that's a seed or a foliar application. Insecticides, whether that's seed or foliar application as well. And then the second point is that comments have also been made that you can make up ground, basically, for planting late or make up ground for planting a variety that doesn't perform as well as it should with some of these newer management techniques such as foliar insecticides or foliar fungicides. So those are the two background points and kind of the start of this whole project. We started the project in 2010 at three locations, and you'll notice the colors here. The West Lafayette will always kind of be this black color. Urbana is orange, and Seymour is the blue. So we'll follow that color scheme throughout. There are four row plots, planted on 76-centimeter centers. We planted cross alleys as well to prevent any kind of aeration, so allowing disease development as much as possible, not allowing that dry out period. Treatments, there are 12 treatments, replicated six times in a randomized complete block design at each location. Factors are planting dates, varieties, and foliar management. Specifically, those treatments are an early versus a late planting date. Two varieties, one being the first generation Roundup, second would be the second generation Roundup. And then the three foliar treatments at R3, beginning pod development, untreated control, fungicide, so the headline at the normal rate, fungicide plus insecticide, so bring in dimethylcyclopropane carboxylate at the recommended rate as well. When I talk about the planting date, I want to give you a frame of reference in Illinois and Indiana. Timely planting is what I like to call is the last week of April to the first couple weeks of May, so it gives you an idea where the sweet spot is for planting dates for us. So in reference to our first planting date, which will be termed early from here on out, West Lafayette, Urbana, and Seymour were around the 21st to the 30th of April in 2010. Those same planting dates had their R3 application around the 6th through the 12th of July. This ended up being about a 73 to 81 day after planting application. The second set of treatments that were by planting date were at the end of May. So we're looking at the 24th to the 28th of May across the three locations. The R3 application was the 12th of July to the 26th of July. This kind of gives you an idea when you look at planting dates in the Midwest, it's usually kind of a 3-to-1. So a 3-day delay in planting ends up being a 1-day delay at harvest. And so you can see how these R3 applications kind of make up ground in terms of days after planting. It's 48 to 59 days after planting in that second planting date. Treatments were analyzed with ANOVA and PROC-GLM. Locations we created as random and treatments were fixed. Report main effects wherever possible, and if need to, we broke it up by location. Fishers protected LSD to break those up. To give you a visual, I think most people can understand that planting date, as a previous speaker talked about, has an impact on growth and development. I just want to give a good little visual of what we're talking about. This is the end of June in West Lafayette, the first planting date compared to the second planting date. Difference across all three locations, about 3 nodes. So that first planting date had an advance of 3 nodes compared to the late planting date at this point. Height difference was on the order of 25 centimeters. So I think that's a pretty common knowledge, but at least I want to show you a visual of what we're talking about. Looking at planting date effects themselves on pods per plant, we weren't able to average over location. So by location, you'll see that this setup is West Lafayette in black, Urbana in orange, and Seymour in blue. So within each location is the mean separation. Within West Lafayette, there are no differences. Urbana, with early planting date, you were around 60 versus 48 pods per plant. Seymour is a little tighter data, and not much of a difference really in terms of overall numbers, but tighter data to call that different. When you look a little bit deeper into the Urbana location, the harvest stands were different. In terms of the early planting, we're on the order of 230,000 plants per hectare, whereas the late plantings were about 275,000 plants per hectare. And so whenever you start to do some of the extra calculations to bring that up, you can see why there was a difference with planting date at Urbana. It is also a factor of the harvest stand. Planting date effect on seed mass over all three locations. The early planting date in 2010 showed a significant advantage to seed size on the order of 0.5, 0.7 grams per 100 seeds at West Lafayette, same at Urbana. Seymour is a little bit greater advantage. And then whenever you start adding all these factors together and looking at the overall yield by planting date, this is really no surprise that the timely planting yielded more than the late planting. I think this is something that has been established, but in terms of the factorial design laid out in this pattern. The average gain was about half to 0.7 tons per hectare. So bringing in the foliar management side, talk about the disease. In particular, brown spot was the disease of choice as far as what we saw in 2010. 2010 at application dates, the early planting dates tended to have higher brown spot infection on the order of 5 to 8%, whereas the late planting dates were much lower, probably on the order of 3% whole plant infection. In terms of after the planting date and after the foliar application, the untreated control at both West Lafayette and Seymour were higher in percent infection. Urbana's ratings were higher than the other two locations with no significant differences between the two. But as you continued on through the season, even 42 days after application, the same trend occurred, that the fungicide provided the protection that was needed for brown spot infection. With that year, late July, August, we had a lot of humidity, heavy dews in the morning, so brown spot infection certainly increased and ramped up, and that was the case for some of those differences. When you look at seed mass, we're able to average over locations with seed mass. By variety, the Roundup 2 variety had a larger seed size than the Roundup 1. With the foliar management, which I think we're all a little more interested in, we had larger seeds with both fungicide and the fungicide plus insecticide compared to the untreated control. I think this really goes back to the brown spot infection in terms of suppressing or preventing and protecting from that, having more leaf area to fill out those seeds. But at the end of the day, what are we really looking for? We're looking at yield. We're looking at yield in the variety selection portion. The first generation of the one that we selected was higher yielding than the second generation in this scenario. I'll note that the second generation Roundup, we had some SDS showing up in 2010 and was a little more prominent in that variety. In terms of foliar management, we have, again, the fungicide and fungicide plus insecticide yielding larger, yielding greater than our untreated control on the order of 0.2 tons per hectare. Again, going back to our brown spot infection, and also at Urbana, there was a little bit of Japanese beetle feeding, so we have some of those issues that are coming into the background of that. So with that, early planting date within location was generally greater for pod development, also greater for seed mass and yield. Foliar management over locations reduced the brown spot infection and increased seed mass and yield. The interesting part The title was Soybean Yield Decisions, Interactions of Planting Date Variety and Foliar Management. And really, it should be the lack of interactions. That was the part that was really interesting in this first year of data, that there was no interactions with planting date variety and foliar management. Pod development, the brown spot infection, seed mass, or yield. Kind of that second question that led into, well, can these management practices bring the yield up of maybe a poor decision in planting date or a poor decision in variety? Never did the second scenario, so the second planting date with the foliar management, bring yields up to the same level of an early planting date of a variety that had no foliar treatment. To that end, this year we started studies looking at the particulars of varieties that don't have good yield packages and then bringing in the foliar management to see if those can be increased. And in 2011, we continued the study and we'll continue to provide those results. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions. Yes, Dave?
I'm real surprised you're getting responses just when you have brown spot. We've sort of ignored brown spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because we generally build up leaf area above.
Right.
Brown spots tend to be low. Was the infection...
The infection was... It was within West Lafayette. It was certainly going up to the upper portion of the canopy. We had the heavy dews, and it really came on strong in West Lafayette. I'm not certain on Urbana side, but Vince is saying yes, it was the same there.
What type of LAIs did you have? Did you have complete canopy coverage? Or?
With the first planting date, yes. With the second planting date, no. So.
And you had the same amount of infection.
The later planting date had less infection.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What is your principal insect problem?
Insect problems, generally you may have bean leaf beetle, Japanese beetle feeding, and soybean aphids are kind of the big ones. Never had aphid problems that year. Bean leaf beetles were non-existent, really. Japanese beetles, the only thing that was noted in that year.
And that's what's raising hell with our soybean. To start out, I think they stay mainly in corn to begin with, and when the growing comes off in early August, well, then they move out into soybean and cotton.
I will say, you know, stink bug's one that's kind of been on our radar, but hasn't really ballooned, I guess. You'll see one every now and then, but nothing near thresholds. Any other comments? Yes, sir. I didn't make any calculations, but I can pull out of my back pocket. Basically, that's break even. That yield advantage there is about break even across all three locations. We normally at 50-50 with those kind of fungicide applications needing about the 2 bushel mark, and those are right at that. So it's about break even. Yes, sir. Certainly.
With frog-eye
leaf
spot.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, definitely do. And this was kind of just looking at the agronomic side, but not necessarily a management practice to bring in and say everyone do this. It's just kind of, well, what can it do in the presence or the absence of disease or insects? You mentioned frog-eye leaf spot. In West Lafayette, we had low levels, but you could tell a difference between the fungicide and the no fungicide applications. Good question. Others? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean.